This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Anindya Dutta joins me. He is the Harry F. Byrd Professor of Biochemistry and Molecular Genetics at the University of Virginia. You've seen this documentary.
Yes, I have.
And thank you, first of all, for being here. I was so moved by what I saw. I actually watched it twice. Because I grew up with this basic understanding of genetics, and then I watched this documentary that tells me, oh, you know what? Forget all of that. Well, don't forget it all, but really that was just the starting point. The Human Genome Project is just the starting point. And what is being learned now, and the research that's going on, even right here at the University of Virginia, which is one of the top places of research into epigenetics on the globe and the entire world.
That's right.
Is so absolutely fascinating. And like this, the introduction to this documentary said, it turns our understanding of genetics completely on its head. So let's begin first with, tell us, what is epigenetics? When we talk about this, this is the key word to understand. This is the door that we open. Epigenetics. What is this?
Absolutely. Till now, genetics was thought of changes in your DNA sequence. Epigenetics is what's on top of that DNA sequence. That changes the way in which the DNA is expressed, and that changes what we become. So epigenetics is on top of the DNA sequence.
Yeah. So we have our genetics, our idea that we're each born with DNA, which sort of tells us, basically tells us what we're going to look like and if we're going to have brown eyes and, you know, blue hair or whatever. But what we're learning is that epigenetics actually has much more to do with it than the genes do.
Well, it's as much,
yeah,
or sometimes not as well appreciated, maybe. So the genes do determine whether one has blue eyes or brown eyes, but the epigenetics might affect how that expression comes around. So somebody with blue eye genes might not come out just vivid blue, but might become a pale shade of blue, and that is epigenetics. That's changing that DNA expression.
Yeah. So we were talking before we went on the air that that we see epigenetics all the time. You can look at yourself in the mirror and you can see epigenetics at work. What did you mean by that?
Yes. So all the DNA in your body is the same. So the DNA in your skin cell looks exactly the same as the DNA in your liver cells. And yet they're completely different because the skin cells are out there to protect you while the liver cells are busy helping you digest your Thanksgiving turkey. So how do the two cells do that when they have the same DNA? It's by expressing different parts of the DNA in the different types of cells. And epigenetics decides which part of the DNA will be expressed, say, in the skin cells versus which part of the DNA will be expressed in the liver cells.
Yeah. And so it's the same DNA, but there's certain portions of it that are being turned on and certain portions of it that are being turned off.
Exactly.
And so it will then manifest itself as a skin cell versus a liver cell.
Yep. The way I think of it is, if you think of your DNA as this strong, as this line of spaghetti with your instructions, say, twinkle, twinkle, little star written on the left side and happy birthday written out on the right side. If the spaghetti is wrapped up in meatballs, which is basically what histones are, then...
A protein, yeah.
Proteins, they're proteins. So if the meatballs are sitting on the twinkle, twinkle, little star, you can't really read that. So you end up just reading the happy birthday and that becomes a liver cell. While in the skin cell, the meatballs are located on the happy birthday, and so the twinkle, twinkle, little star can be read, and that's how you become a skin cell.
So we literally have proteins that sit on top of or block portions of the DNA strands,
yep,
and it has the effect of turning that part off.
Exactly. That, and the other way of epigenetics works is little flakes, methyl groups, that can be added to the DNA. So you could think of it as like the Parmesan cheese that you add on your spaghetti. The cheese could be coating up portions of the spaghetti and you wouldn't be able to read that. So that's another way by which epigenetics changes a gene's expression.
We are talking with Anindya Dutta. He is the professor of biochemistry and molecular genetics at the University of Virginia. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. The turning on and the turning off of certain portions of a DNA strand, which then manifest itself as different types of cells, it's very much like the ones and the zeros in a computer, in software for a computer.
Absolutely, excepting it's happening over whole strings of the DNA. But that's exactly right. It's also not just off and on. Occasionally, epigenetics modulates in an like an analog scale. a little bit of expression, a little bit more, a little bit more. So it's not always just zero and one. But the basic notion of turning on and off is absolutely correct.
It's amazing. So this documentary that I saw, The Ghost in Your Genes, that the BBC produced, which again is available online and is must viewing for anybody who wants to understand this stuff, they really explore the idea that our ancestors, their genes turn on and off in certain instances or certain portions of the DNA strand, and that affects us, so that your grandmother could be exposed to certain toxins that you then could manifest and present with an illness from those toxins when you yourself never were exposed to those toxins.
Right. It's a fascinating idea. So the basic notion till now was that the only way the grandmother's exposure to a toxin could affect me would be if the DNA sequence changed, if there's a mutation in the grandmother's egg cells that got passed on to my mother and then through her to me. So the DNA sequence had to change. But now what people are saying is that the toxins could affect the packaging of the DNA in the grandmother's egg cells in such a way that certain genes could be expressed and others not. And that DNA has a memory of that packaging. And so that packaging is recreated in my mother's egg cells. And then eventually when I was created, it was recreated in me. And so that's how some of these epigenetic traits are getting passed down to me.
Is that what, this is a hypothetical example here and might not even correlate, but somebody who gets lung cancer, for example, and never smoked, and never was really exposed to any toxins, might genetically be programmed to get lung cancer because their grandfather smoked their whole life.
It's a hypothetical example, so I'll go with that. Yeah. I don't want your listeners to think that that's exactly what's happening. But there are examples close to that, though. So, for example, there's been a study that shows that if prepubertal boys, say in the 10 to 14-year-old, if they smoke, their children can tend to have higher body mass index. They tend to have more obesity and other diseases like diabetes and have a shorter lifespan. Now, there's no mutation in the DNA in this. It's probably that smoking exposed the prepubertal boy's germ cells to packaging changes, which were then transmitted to the children.
We're honored to be speaking with Anindya Dutta. He is the Harry F. Byrd Professor of Biochemistry and Molecular Genetics at the University of Virginia. So certain portions of a DNA strand now, as epigenetic research tells us, can be turned on or off in a couple of different ways. So I guess the big question now is, can we do that? Can we put something into the body that will go into a particular point on the DNA strand and turn it off so that we can eliminate diseases, for example?
Yeah. You and many other pharmaceutical companies, I think there are millions of dollars riding on this question, whether you can specifically change the epigenetic marks on certain parts of the DNA. What we can do is globally change the epigenetic marks. So there are drugs, some of them have even been approved by the FDA, which will come in and change the epigenetic marks in the entire DNA. And surprisingly, that actually has a good effect in certain cancers. So just like I told you, the difference between the skin cell and the liver is dependent on epigenetic marks. The difference between a normal skin cell and a cancerous skin cell is also in the epigenetic marks. Certain genes are getting switched off that hold the cell's growth in abeyance. And as a result, the cell has gone crazy and is happily proliferating and producing a cancer. So imagine now if you can come back with a drug that can restore those epigenetic marks globally in those cancer cells, the cell will stop growing. And that's the idea about for drugs like vorinostat and another one, which I can't remember right now, azacitidine, which are supposed to be used as epigenetic changers.
So really, we could see in the future these type of epigenetic injections that might be a vaccine so you won't get cancer.
A little bit far.
Am I going too far?
You're going a little bit too far. What we can hope is that we might be able to change the epigenetic marks on a particular cancer to stop it from dividing.
Yeah.
I think we're still a long way off from doing this in a preventive manner where we could anticipate epigenetic changes and block their appearance.
But to address an existing situation in an ill patient, That really is the line of research that's so exciting.
That's exactly what's going on right now.
Yeah.
The National Institute of Health, for example, has sponsored studies where people are going into various cancers and trying to figure out what is the epigenetic landscape in that cancer's DNA compared to the normal cells. And by looking at the changes in the epigenetics, they're saying, aha, we think these portions of the DNA have changed their ability to be read, and so different genes are being expressed, and that's what's causing the cancer.
And it's a matter of going in and finding, hopefully, finding that portion of the DNA strand that has been turned on or perhaps even turned off.
Yep.
And doing just the opposite to it.
Doing opposite, exactly the opposite. That's exactly right.
And some of this research, again, just to remind people, some of this research that we're talking about here is actually happening at the University of Virginia, one of the best in the world.
Absolutely. In a recent study where a group, a completely independent group, surveyed all the papers that have been published in epigenetics, University of Virginia, a relatively small institute, ranked number 5 in the whole world. The others were, you can imagine by their sizes, were like Johns Hopkins and Harvard and NIH. And there was University of Virginia at number 5, which is very exciting.
So, what are y'all doing in India? I mean, tell us now, take us behind the scenes into the lab.
So one of the major events that was discovered at the University of Virginia was the histone code. This was done by Professor David Alice, who has unfortunately since then left Virginia. But he discovered that these meatballs that I'm talking about,
the proteins around which the DNA is wrapped. Yeah,
these proteins are modified by various groups. So like an acetyl group or methyl group, and those modifications change the way by which the DNA is exposed to the reading apparatus. So he actually has coined the term the histone code. It's no longer just the DNA code, but the histones, how they're modified, will determine which genes change and which genes don't. And so that's one angle.
And again, this kind of discovery is going to help us learn how to isolate parts of the DNA and understand what parts are turned on and what parts are turned off.
You got it. So in fact, the NIH study, which I referred to, where people are studying the epigenetic profiles, they're actually using antibodies to pull down certain types of modified histones, which are actually produced by a Charlottesville company, Upstate Biotechnology. They actually produced a lot of these antibodies that pull down certain types of histones modified in a certain manner. And that's what's being used to pull out pieces of our DNA and analyze them to find out which pieces of DNA have got, say, acetylated histones, which portions have methylated histones or other types of modifications.
Because you have to pull the DNA out, I guess, so you can put it under the microscope to look at it. So getting access to look at it is also a critical part of research.
Exactly. The first thing you do is purify the DNA with a particular type of modifications on it, and then not quite a microscope, but a sequencing apparatus will help you sequence it and tell you what DNA there is.
Yeah. So tell me, we're talking with Anindya Dutta. He's a professor of biochemistry and molecular genetics at the University of Virginia, and we're talking about the very latest discoveries and lines of research in epigenetics. So tell me, I'm curious now, what are you hoping for? What do you hope, before your career is over, what are you really hoping to see happen in your lifetime in this research?
Right. So one major area that I'm interested in is cancer. So I'm hoping that there'll be more and more drugs for epigenetics changes in cancers, because we tend to think of cancers as just changes in the genetics. I don't think that's quite correct. That besides the DNA sequence changes, I think the epigenetic changes creates much more variability in the cancer. And that's actually one of the reasons why it's so hard to treat these diseases. Because you attack one particular gene, by epigenetics, another gene opens up somewhere else in the cancer, and now the cancer is free to grow despite the presence of the drugs that we're giving it. So epigenetic approaches combined with existing therapy will probably help cancer treatment improve significantly.
And the war on cancer, you think, from what you're understanding, the success in the war on cancer and different types of cancer, because we're learning that they're all so different, really is going to come from this line of research, probably.
I think so. Not alone exclusively, but, you know, it's like different armaments that you use against the enemy. So I think this will be a significant area by which we can attack cancer. Another major area that I think where epigenetics will come into play is in neurobiology. So one thing, as most of our listeners probably are aware of, that there are these very complicated diseases like schizophrenia and autism, where it's very hard to understand where is the genetic component. You know, you occasionally see some semblance of familial history, but it's never solid, never absolutely established. And one possibility is that it's epigenetics, is the part that we have been missing, is actually contributing to some of these developmental disorders that lead to these diseases. So I think in neurobiology, epigenetics is going to make a big entry.
Anindya Dutta is the Harry F. Byrd Professor of Biochemistry and molecular genetics. I have 50 more questions, so we have to have you back on at some point. And thank you so much for being here. I'd like to consider this just the beginning of the conversation and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.